in principle between us on all on the Homeland Security and the other six bills. Our staffs are going to be working feverishly to put all of the particulars together.
Can't you just hear the fever in the voice of Senator Shelby? As top four negotiators leading the charge on border security talks emerged from a meeting, announced that they've reached an agreement in principle. What does that agreement look like, and what should we make of it? Talk about it this hour at 343-0106. Also joined by Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, author of Matt Jones' Heretic, the Trilogy. And you can catch his work, Washington Examiner, where he's posting stuff many times a week. Hey, Quinn.
Hello, good to be with y'all.
Good to have you here as well. So your initial takeaway on what happened yesterday, because I mean, I guess there's been two parts to this, and correct me where I'm wrong, but there's been the rhetoric part, which has included Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and President Trump, and then there have been Democrats and Republicans working on trying to avert another partial government shutdown come Friday. So, I mean, who was really doing the work of the... I mean, what was really happening?
Well, what was happening is they were actually trying to negotiate to figure out how to finally end this impasse. But what they have come up with, if Trump accepts it, it will be a massive, embarrassing defeat for the president. And that's not an opinion. That is just looking at the absolute sheer irrefutable numbers.
And speaking of numbers, so I've heard this morning, $1.3 billion versus $5.6 billion. Is that what you're hearing?
It's $1.375 billion for border security, including some wall funding.
Okay, so I mean, what I think is interesting is if it does come out that some of it, whether it's $1 or $1.375 billion, goes to wall funding, it also I think is a fail for the Democrats that said, hey, this is immoral. A wall, it didn't even seem like a negotiation because it wasn't numbers, at least in the rhetoric. It was one side said it was immoral. The other side said we want $5.7 billion.
No, well, what Nancy Pelosi said, what she meant because...
Oh, and what did she say?
Okay, what she said was not $1 more for the wall. Now, that was not $1 more than the original $1.3 billion of funds already in the pipeline.
Right, they had already agreed to. Right, but
yeah.
That's what I don't get, though. I mean, seriously, this isn't rhetorical. I mean, if you say something is immoral, right, then no funding should be okay. I mean, if you say...
Right, okay, and that's why I've written a couple of columns saying that it was the Democrats dealing in bad faith on this for just that reason and for others, okay? So mm-hmm. They were dealing in bad faith. What I'm talking about now is who won. If you've already got, get this, $1.3 billion that's already in the pipeline, and...
That's what they agreed to.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
In early December, 2 weeks before the shutdown, the Democrats offered $1.6 billion as long as it was not required for the wall, but it would be allowed for the wall.
Right. So it's actually a loss. It's a loss.
$1.6 on December 4th.
Right.
And now Trump said, no, $1.6 isn't enough. I want $5.7. So Trump turned down 1.6, and now he's getting less than 1.4. He went backwards. He lost ground from what he could have had before any of them either even shut down the government.
I'm with you. That's what I saw this morning. I was left scratching my head. I said, this is not even the deal that was originally on the table. So does President Trump sign that?
I don't know, but if he does, it is not the greatest deals, the best deals, I promise you. It is the single worst surrender by a president in a budget battle in our adult lifetime. I mean, literally no president has lost a budget battle this badly, if he signs it, since Gerald Ford when there were two times as many Democrats in the House as there were Republicans. Now, I'm not saying he should have lost. The Democrats were dealing in bad faith for the reason you gave and for others. I'm just saying, on the sheer numbers of it, if he signs it, it is an abject surrender, because he will be worse off than he would have been if he accepted the deal in early December. And not only that, but in the meantime, taxpayers have actually paid $4.5 billion more for work that was not even done, because we gave back pay to all those federal workers who weren't even working. I'm not talking about the ones that actually came to work. I'm talking about the ones that were furloughed and didn't work. Cost us $4.5 billion that taxpayers will never get back. The economy lost $3 billion in output. And the growth rate, the economic growth for the quarter, is supposed to be a full half a point less than it otherwise would have been. So we had a massive shutdown. Taxpayers paid a lot of money. They got no benefit from it. We're going to be the IRS is going to be taking a full year, it said, to recover. So if you've got any problems with the IRS, you're in limbo for an extra year. So we lost all sorts of service, all sorts of money, and get less for a wall than we would have gotten if Trump had accepted the deal in early December.
Quinn, last night on Fox News, Sean Hannity, who so often we've seen his views mirror the president's and vice versa, but he said, any Republican that supports this garbage compromise, you will have to explain. My question is, do you think that Trump supporters, do you think they'll be happy with this and say, hey, we do this four more times and boom, we've got our wall? Or do you think they'll be upset about this? And if they are, who do you think ends up taking the fall?
None of Trump's supporters ever blame Trump. So they'll blame our own Senator Shelby or somebody else that directly negotiated this. Now, the interesting thing is, if Trump accepts the deal and tries to claim that it's a victory, how fast will Sean Hannity do a 360 and spin around and fold in on himself and say, oh, this is such a great victory for Trump, even though just last night he said this is a horrible deal? I wonder what Sean Hannity will do, since he loves to say Trump can do no wrong.
What about this? So this bounces around. The President Trump does not sign this. Is there Republican will to override here?
Oh, if Trump doesn't sign it,
if it's vetoed by the president,
that there will be enough votes to override the veto. No, there will be enough Republicans that stick with Trump on this that if he wants to issue a veto, it will stand. And as a matter of fact, if I were he, that's what I would do, because right now, as I said, he would be accepting a loss. If he turns around and leaves Richard Shelby out hanging out to dry and says, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to veto this, he would get back in the game and might end up achieving more than he's achieving now. Now, at the cost of another shutdown, yes. But, I mean, right now, he's gotten less than nothing.
Talk about another partial shutdown or the aversion therein. Right now, we're in a CR, right, that has kept us out of it. Could there just be another CR and we could just stay in the state of limbo?
You could, and that would probably be better for everybody concerned. I mean, if Congress passes this deal and then Trump vetoes it, and then Congress very quickly acts to pass a continuing resolution and leaves it in limbo, that's a whole lot that would have to happen fairly quickly. But if that happened, it would be a lot better for everybody than one of these partial government shutdowns, because Congress does not have the guts to have a shutdown and not pay the people who aren't working, which means if you shut down the government, then when you reopen it, you start paying people for work that wasn't done, and it ends up costing taxpayers way more money than would have happened if they just kept continuing resolutions going forever.
Right. We've talked about these numbers in the past, what it costs to have these shutdowns, but I wish Washington was as worried about dollars and cents as some of us, but they're not. Okay, so I don't hold my breath to expect them to make decisions based on fiscal issues. I mean, it's back to the main debate here, or at least the rhetorical debate about the wall when the Democrats, at some point when they'd break away from saying that it was immoral, they'd say, well, it's so much money. And I would just laugh and laugh and laugh that anybody, Democrat or Republican in Washington, would consider $5.7 billion extra spending a big deal. I mean, they don't. I mean, let's just be frank about it. It's not what moves the needle in Washington.
You're right, but it should, because $5.7 billion is a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, to a hayseed like me, it's a big deal. But I'm just saying, looking at Washington, it's like, they don't see it the same way.
And to be clear, let me back up. To be clear for the listeners, I'm not bashing Trump right now. I'm saying if he accepts this deal, then he will have proved that he is not the great negotiator that he says. He hasn't accepted it yet.
Well, he said last night, it was specifically last night in El Paso that he was talking about that he wouldn't sign a deal. I mean, he went through a list of things. Here it is. Let's run to this clip here. Here is President Trump last night saying he would never sign a bill that included...
Let me state very clearly to those pushing this ridiculous and radical agenda, I will never sign a bill that forces the mass release of violent criminals into our country. And I will never abolish or in any way mistreat our great heroes from ICE and Border Patrol and law enforcement.
Are those that lineup just straw men to be able to say, well, it doesn't have that in it, so I'll sign it? Or is that a sign
of... I don't know, because, I mean, that speech, if I remember right, was shortly before news broke of this tentative deal.
But you'd think he probably would have a little inside track on what was going on. Somebody be texting
him.
You
would think so. I'm just saying that by the numbers, you cannot argue, there is no way, shape, or form to argue that if you wanted $5.7 billion and they offered $1.6 and you end up taking $1.375, there's no way to argue that you did anything other than lose badly.
Agreed. That's why, I mean, at the beginning of this, I said, I don't see where the room for negotiation is. Quite often in Washington, whether you like it or not, you hear that, one group, Democrats say it's this number, Republicans say it's this number, and in the negotiation it becomes somewhere in between. In this case, you had the president painted into a corner saying it's $5.7 billion or the highway, and the Democrats saying any wall, it's immoral, walls are immoral. And I was like, I don't even know how you work that equation.
Yeah, and I don't know how you work the equation either. I'm telling you, if this is the deal, if I were Trump, I would say no. Because then he would reestablish himself as the one guy standing against all of Washington, including those supposedly cowardly Republicans who made such a bad deal. And for his public image, it might actually reinforce it. Because right now there's no way to spin this as a victory.
There you go. People want to read more about this. I know you got a new piece getting ready to go up at the Examiner.
Yeah, in fact, it should be up within the next hour. I handed it in 5 minutes before I got on the radio. So I walked through all of the numbers in that piece, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. Somebody wants to pick up Matt Jones Heretic, the whole trilogy. How do they do that?
Amazon.com.
All right, very good, Quinn. We'll talk next week.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
All right, Quinn Hillier, check it in. Love to hear from you, too. Should the president sign that deal? Would you sign that deal if you're the president? 343-0106. What if it meant another partial government shutdown? They didn't do another CR. Would you still not sign it? 343-0106. We'll hear from you next. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along on this Tuesday. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Hey, are you sick of paying high interest rates on your credit cards? I would imagine the answer would be yes, and you should think about this. Consolidating multiple credit card payments down to one payment. How about at a lower rate? If you want to do that, then LightStream is a no-brainer. You can refinance your credit card balance right now with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Compare that to what you're paying each month on your cards. The rate's fixed, it'll never go up, and there are zero fees. And apply online in just minutes. It's so easy, you don't even need to leave your house, or if the boss isn't looking, your office. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. LightStream's rewarding people with good credit with a low rate and an easy process. And if you want to save even more, y'all can get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. Website, LightStream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, we'll go to the phones and grab your calls, and also texts coming in here. Run through these real quickly here. Mike says, oh, look, it's the mole for the deep state. This is who he thinks Quinn is. Deep state mole, Quinn Hillier. Let's see. There's a bunch of them just discussing the same thing. We've gone through this. Maybe I'll just pre-record this. Somebody asking, why do we have Quinn on the radio? Well, I have Quinn on the radio for a lot of reasons. I'd like to... There's in the echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have the right to text and blast and do those things. It's worth having a different take on it. And I think it's... what about what Quinn said is inaccurate? I would say this, and listen, I joust with him all the time. I mean, if y'all have listened every time, but if President Trump does sign the $1.3 billion, I got to agree with Quinn. I think it's a lose. It's a fail. Travis says, Sean, keep in mind Trump's negotiation tactics. He often throws out a huge figure and may settle for a lot less. Besides, the money was already approved in prior budgets. All Trump has to do is have results for wall construction and enough time. I hate when the computer does that. Enough time for some contrast numbers on border crossing and crime before and after. Then he can say, look at what we did with a quarter of what I asked for.
Yeah, and there could be a couple ways he could play this. Like Quinn said, he could say no and not sign the deal, and it looked like he's standing against all of Washington mm-hmm. once again. Or he could take the route that you've been talking about for a few days, where if the Democrats are willing to give $1.7 billion for the border wall, and they were calling it immoral, well, why don't they just give $5.7 billion for the war?
Right. If something is immoral, a little bit or a lot is still immoral. That's why I think both sides have been saying this for months now, have painted themselves into a corner on this negotiation. Our online opinion poll question as well this morning.
Yeah, should President Trump sign the agreement that only provides about $1.4 billion of his $5.7 billion demand for border wall funding? Yes or no? Answer now. FMTalk1065.com.
All right, love to see your vote there in the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Barry's in Baldwin County. First up, hey, Barry.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Good, man.
Listen, I don't pretend to understand what's going on in Washington, and I'm sure there's a lot of politicians up there that don't understand it either, but mm-hmm. I have a few questions to ask. First of all, I'd like to see Trump negotiate the $500 million that we're giving Planned Parenthood every year, the taxpayers' money. I'd like to see that as part of the negotiations on this wall. Another question I have is, you remember Obama was able to take $15 billion on an airplane and send it to Iran. I wonder where he got that money. And does it make sense that Trump could simply take, the $15 billion that as El Chapo has, the federal government has it, why can't he take that drug money and use it? And that way he could say that, hey, money is, first of all, it's coming from Mexico.
Well,
drug money. And is there some way that prevents him from using that money?
Unfortunately, for the way the world works, if you took that money, I mean, you still could use it, but that's the reason there's money in the Sinaloa cartel's hands is because Americans are junkies, and we've given the money to the drug dealers. So that might be tough. And on the money that, where did Obama get the money to send to Iran? Well, I completely disagree with it. It came from some frozen accounts. We'll be right back. Hey, thanks, Kane. 837 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We're coming to the phones in just a second at 343-0106. Check in with Mitch McConnell at McConnell Automotive. And Mitch, I had the opportunity to really look at the AT4 down at the boat show, and I'm digging it, man.
Yeah, you know, Sean, a whole lot of people hear AT4 and they think it's like some four-wheel drive little off-road thing to go hunting with, but it's an actual GMC truck. And what I want to invite everybody, Sean, to do is what you got to do, which is check that truck out. I mean, if you're driving a Ford, even, you know, Sean, you've seen a Ford Raptor. This is the kind of truck that turns heads, breaks necks. It's just that cool. You know, big lift kit on it right from the factories, big wheels, and of course, you know, you got the red tow hooks, all that stuff. And Sean, we've been around since 1955, and nobody beats the deal that we give them on a GMC anywhere in the country. And if people check our website out at McConnellAutomotive.com, they can see all the new Z71 trucks and the new body style with that fancy six function tailgate, and especially including that AT4, Sean.
Man, it is a fantastic truck. You got to see that tailgate to see what Mitch is talking about, and you have to come out to McConnell to do it. Mitch, thanks for your time. We'll check back soon.
All right, y'all have a blessed day, Sean.
Will do. Mitch McConnell checking in from McConnell Automotive, just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street. And that that tailgate's something. I mean, really cool. Had people gathered around it there at the boat show. It's like the tailgate has a hinge within the tailgate. You have to go look at it. I probably do a poor job of explaining it, but it's like something I have not seen before. All right, let's go to the phones. 343-0106, plus a bunch of texts coming in here, too. I'll try to get to these texts during the break, if not before. But number one, batter up, Freddie in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Oh, yes, good morning.
Morning.
If I was the president, I would sign that bill in a heartbeat, because I would say I've already tricked my constituent once when I said Mexico was going to pay for that wall.
Mm-hmm.
They did not pay for it, so I'm going to get my people in the state to help me with it. The mayor of El Paso said they don't need that wall down there. That's on the border. But I'll show what I really want to
But there is a fence down
about.
There. There is a fence
what
down
I,
there.
What I really want to
yep.
talk to you about,
not
when
facts.
You and Rob, right. the day or tomorrow sometime, ride down to Parade Route for this Mobile Mardi Gras Association.
Yes.
On Government Street and Broad, and look at the potholes. You wouldn't want your son and daughter walking out there at night, stepping in them divots and all that. Just ride through there sometime when you get off the day and see don't they need to do something before the Friday parade.
Oh, listen, do we need to do some work on potholes? My goodness, Freddie. I mean, think about this, the pothole work that needs to be done. I mean, I have knocked my truck out of alignment and back into alignment on just one street.
Yeah, but he said the Mexico going to pay for the wall.
For the potholes? For the potholes? Let's get Mexico to pay to fix the potholes.
I'm talking about the wall. I got two things I was going with.
I got you. I'm not.
But they got on Broad Street between Government, Spring Hill, and Washington Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids walking at night, they're not going to see those divots and potholes in that street. They need to fill it in, Sean. They need to do.
I agree. I agree with you.
You ride down the center of Broad Street.
Freddie, I agree with you.
To Spring Hill, and just listen at how your car sounds when you go through there, Sean.
I agree. Freddie, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Well, they need to get something done.
We don't know what to, I agree with you. We need to fix them. And we need to have Mexico pay for it. 343-0106. That's the number, 343-0106. you know, the pothole thing. Listen, we've done whole shows on that. Done whole shows. And it's going to be worse right now because we had such a bunch of rain that causes the issue. And then sometimes you get the patch on the pothole that's not as bad as the pothole, but it's about half as bad because it. Let's go to Brian and Daphne next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Sean. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man. What's up?
I'll just find out. I had a chance to see you in a little while, but I think I'm gonna come over to Ed's tomorrow.
Cool. Good deal. Good deal.
We can all share that slap your mama platter.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
I know it's amazing. Hey, that just shows you the guy just calls you the disillusioned Democrat. We're talking about border security and building a wall, and he's worried about some potholes in downtown Mobile.
Well, I mean, there are two different issues.
Nothing to do with any of this at all.
Right. I mean, they're both important, but we're kind of talking about, you know, I mean, I still agree that potholes are important. I mean, that's your government closest to you, but he was somehow putting that with the wall. I don't know. Maybe we get Mexico to pay to fix the potholes.
Well, you know, I'm a huge Trump supporter, have been, and want to be, but if he cows down to Pelosi and her minions and his AOC crap and everything and signs this bill, he loses me because he's not doing anything that he promised he would do as far as fixing border security. And there is a way, people talking about Mexico's paying for it, the tariffs that he's put on and changing the NAFTA treaty brought in so much extra money to us, that pays for part of it. I just think the man needs to tell everybody to go to hell, declare a national emergency, build the wall, and let the Democrats jump up, down, have their little fits, and suck on their pacifiers, and they just get over it.
Okay. Well, and what I like, and Brian, I appreciate your call. Brian's call is the kind of call I was looking for, because here's a strong Trump supporter who says if the president does sign this compromise, which I don't, you know, it's not even, you can't call it a compromise, because it's actually less. The original offer from the Dems, what was in the pipeline, was $1.6 billion. This is $1.3 billion. And if the president signs it, how do you tell me in the spin machine? I'm sorry. If God forbid you question anything President Trump does, and that means you're anti-Trump, then you need to open your eyes. You need to open your eyes. There's Brian, big Trump supporter, who says if the president signs it, it's a fail. And I agree with Brian. I don't think he signs it, by the way. Just gut instinct tells me I don't think he signs it. But if he does, he gets less than he did. That's not a great negotiation. Let's go to David next in Mobile. David?
It's not a compromise. It's a capitulation.
There you go.
Sean, anybody that has ever coached football in their life, either from all the way down from Pee Wee League all the way to the NFL, has said, if you ever play scared, you play tight and you lose. And that is what the Republicans have done in this situation, because not only did they get less for the wall than what was originally offered, they're getting a cut in the number of detention beds for illegal immigrant detention from what the current levels are, which is what the Democrats wanted as well. So, you know, the Republicans aren't getting anything. The only thing they're getting is they're not getting another government shutdown. That's what they're scared of. They're playing scared. And if Trump doesn't save the Republicans from themselves again, he's going to end up getting hurt. Republicans are going to end up suffering. And we're going to be further down the road to the socialism that AOC wants before we're all said and done.
There we go. David, appreciate the call. Let's go to Steve in Saraland. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Morning.
I just want to make a quick comment about the border wall. President Trump, to me, doesn't have a choice but to go ahead and accept what they're offering now, because I mean he's getting blamed for everything, from people being furloughed, the economy.
If he's going to get blamed anyway, might as well get something for it, huh? I mean, they're not going to say he's a great guy.
Any choice, he really doesn't have a whole lot of bargaining power now either. Like I said, you look on the news and people from the Coast Guard wives and stuff like that. I saw the other day. They're mad about it because mm-hmm. the husbands aren't getting paid and stuff like that. So he's getting a lot of bad press or getting a lot of, getting blamed for a lot of things that really out of his control now. So, if the government goes into another shutdown, it's really going to make him look bad. I think it's going to hurt his numbers as far as being reelected and stuff like that.
Well, let's play that game for a second, though, Steve. I mean, if he does sign it, right, he does sign it, we avert government shutdown, partial government shutdown, which I think actually they will do with another continuing resolution before Friday. But if he does sign it, do you think the folks that are critics of the president or mainstream media, they're going to say, what a swell guy he is. Look at this. He was acting very presidential when he signed this. I mean, they're not going to, if you think that all of a sudden they're going to now be his best friends, what does he have to lose almost? I mean, if you have everybody's going to report on you in a negative way. I mean, it's an idea that you try to stay dry out in a rainstorm until you get wet enough that you say, to heck with it. You're already soaked.
Yeah.
And you just...
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, I just think, as far as just the voters are concerned, he catches a lot of flack anyway from, all of his opponents and stuff, so... I think, like I said, he's getting a lot of bad press about it. I would support it, but then, too, I said, if we go back into another shutdown, it's just not going to look good for him. And he seems like he's getting all the blame for it,
I think you're right. Steve, I agree with that. And he will get it either way, whether he signs it or not. So I appreciate the call. Thank you for chiming in. Y'all hold on. Coming right back to the calls at 343-0106. 343-0106. Remember, too, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com for podcasts. Even this year, podcast of the Moon Pie Minute. They're up there waiting for you as well. And online opinion poll question. Go vote now.
We reached an agreement in principle between us on the Homeland Security and the other six bills. Our staffs are going to be working feverishly to put all of the particulars together.
Senator Shelby knows how to bring the excitement, doesn't he? 853 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Great to the phone calls and the text at 343-0106. Let's go to, I'm going to move to the top ranking person waiting on the phone lines, and the Colonel in Foley is up first. Hello, Colonel.
How are you doing, Sean?
Doing good. You want to talk some wall?
I've been listening to all the conversations this morning, and I enjoy your show, and I enjoy all the comments. And I'll be up front with you. I was a Trump supporter from the time he walked down the stairwell in Trump Tower, and I remain a Trump supporter. But all this stuff that's going on, if you recall, Trump promised all the voters a wall. Now, we've been discussing this thing for a long time. He took credit for the shutdown. When he stood up there with Pelosi and Schumer and said, "This shutdown is mine, I take credit for it, hang it on me." Well, he went for 34 days or 35 days, and then he ended it. But to me, this shutdown should be put on Schumer and Pelosi.
Do you think it will? Do you think it would be put on them? I mean, they seem a little Teflon.
I think he should come out and he should start talking that way. This shutdown is going to be Pelosi and Schumer's shutdown, because if I don't get my 5.8, I'm not signing. Now, you got 72 hours to start calling them and put pressure on them and put pressure on all your representatives, because I think they're starting to bend.
For sure. For sure. I think you're seeing that from the compromise that has not really a compromise, the capitulation. Bend, maybe even break, Colonel. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Mitch in Fairhope next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
No worries. Program. Thank you.
So, look, a side issue, Mexico paying for the wall, and I heard a caller say that, well, this tariff thing, the way he negotiated this NAFTA thing, that Mexico really is paying for it. And I wish everybody would be honest about this, and I think you're a good arbitrator. Who's actually paying when those tariffs are put in place?
Oh, American people. American people. But
American,
I have
you and I are paying for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if something goes up a dollar, we're paying for it. Mexico's not paying for it.
Agreed. Now, I would argue the flip side here is I wish they were so worried about $5.7 billion in Washington. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not real money in Washington anymore. So, I mean, it's a political battle.
$100 bill used to be something that's not anymore.
Can you believe that? I mean, we're talking about $5.7 billion, and, this is all a political battle. It's not, there aren't Democrats worried about spending $5.7 billion. I wish there were people in Washington that cared about that, but there's about seven of them, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know this. A Republican is not a dirty name, and neither are Democrats. We're Americans. We ought to keep it that way, that Democrats aren't the enemies. I vote Republican. I voted Democrat. But let's keep the debate honest. The tariff, we're paying for it.
Sure.
Go to the grocery store, and you'll see that. Thank you so much, Mitch.
Thank you, and thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Let's go to Dave in Mobile. Dave.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Quick comment and quick question. My comment is actually advice. Is the next shutdown, two groups you don't want to have is financial consultants, Coast Guard wives and air traffic controllers, because apparently they can't manage their budget. You know, they're one or two paychecks from the street. My question is, would you fact check a comment by Dick Durbin? He stated that an air traffic controller, I think it was up in New York, was selling blood to pay for gas money to drive to his work. And we're going to hear a lot more of these sob stories that have no basis in fact, and I'd really like you to follow up on that.
Well, I would worry that, you know, they tell you, like, after you get blood, right, you can't, like you get swimmy-headed or something like that. Hopefully he didn't get blood and then go to work.
That's what he was claiming. Dick Durbin is saying this.
Well,
he said that an air traffic controller was donating blood in order to get gas money so he could drive to his unpaid jobs in air traffic.
Well, I tell you, the group I feel sorriest for, though, during those shutdowns and partial shutdowns, are the people got to go to work and not get paid. I mean, that's a pain in the tail, You know, I mean, you know it when you go into the gig, but that would be.
I don't feel sorry for myself. I've saved for the rainy day. It's called self-personal responsibility.
Oh, I agree, but it's
a blessing, not, you know, and I've done it for 22 years. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for anybody else.
Well, I appreciate your call. I get what you're saying. And Lord knows you called the right show, right? For the one that likes to talk about fiscal responsibility show, I'm with you there. But at the same time, I feel sorry for him. I mean, that stinks when you got to go to work and not get a check. I may or may not have worked at a radio station years ago that happened. They said, hey, you know, the mid-month pay, we're probably not going to be able to make that. But y'all continue to do great radio product. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll keep doing it. All right. We will do this all again tomorrow for Mobile Mornings, and I'll do it again today for Midday Mobile. Got some Mardi Gras talk today. Steve Joint from the Mobile Mass joins us, and also it's the second Tuesday of the month. That means we get to Ask the Sheriff. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us in the 1 o'clock hour of Midday Mobile. Do not miss it. It's all straight ahead right here on a very big day on FM Talk 106.5. Mike Gallagher is next. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com.